Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
Yeah, so we're in a series when Jesus dropped the mic. Last week we kind of leaned into this moment of who serves who. Because it's real easy to forget that we serve God and not the other way around. Like, I don't even think we do it on purpose. I think it's like this thing that we just kind of go and gravitate towards. And last week we just pushed into the tension of, man, so in your life, who's really serving who? Are you really getting up every day going, Father, I'm here for you to use me. I'm here for you to make me, and I'm here for you to shape me. Because I felt like that was kind of a setup for where we're going as a series. And I'm actually circling back around. I really didn't want to preach what I'm going to preach this morning, but that's the way Jesus works. Because a long time ago I did a series called The F Word. Yeah, and it wasn't the one you were thinking about when you first heard it. It had to do with forgiveness, and I taught this whole series on forgiveness, and I thought I did a good job. But then this morning, and as I've gone through the week, I just couldn't get away from when Jesus dropped the mic over and over and over again talking about forgiveness. And I sat there, and I'm like, God, why would it be important for you that we talk about forgiveness this much? And there are three things I want to talk to you about this morning. The first one is this. I want to talk to you about the importance of forgiveness, the duration of forgiveness, and moving past your offenders. The importance of forgiveness, the duration of forgiveness, and then moving past your offenders. Because here's the way I think God always deals with stuff. He always deals with stuff, their stuff. He always deals with you first. Because whatever they do to you always has a you component. You are in the middle of everything that happens to you. And what do we do? Because here's the question. It's not a matter of will somebody hurt you in this life. If you're not old enough to know this yet, I'm going to go ahead and just serve this up for you. You are going to get messed over, screwed over, hammered over by somebody or multiple people in your life. Two people, amen me. I'm going to speak on behalf of every parent who's ever existed. We're not perfect, and we probably did some stuff that jacked you up. Well, I'm not saying we didn't do the best we could, but we probably did some stuff that jacked you up. If you have decided to become involved in a relationship, dating, but can I just start simple? If you just checked a box, will you be my girlfriend / boyfriend? Check yes, no, or maybe. Somebody probably jacked you up. I had a girl. Can I just tell myself? Listen, this is the swag that your pastor rolls with. When I was in the sixth grade, this girl is now, we haven't talked in many years, but she's a friend of mine. We ended up just being super good friends. We actually were the last two people every day at recess that were left playing dodgeball. But I decided, because we played dodgeball so well, that she needed to be my girlfriend. So I went and got one of those Stouffer's heart boxes of reflective candy. You know what I'm talking about. Guys know. And I took it to my little Catholic school that I went to at the time. By the way, if you ever get a chance to tell a nun that she's going to hell, don't do it. Because they will slap you with a ruler. So I walked my little box into this girl, and I waited on her, and I said, Will you be my girlfriend? And she looked at me and she said, no. Now that's not the worst part. Oh, it hurt. But I had to walk around all day in the fourth grade with a box of candy with everybody going, she said no, didn't she? She said. And by the end of it, I was lying. I was like, well, we decided together that it wasn't in our best interest to roller skate together. I don't know. But I found this out, man, that even on that simple level of relationship, hurt exists. See, the truth of it is, some of us haven't got over high school or college or the divorce. Because if you're in a relationship of any level, there is going to be hurt. Or maybe you stayed married, doesn't mean you didn't get hurt staying married. Nobody said a word. Nobody said a word. I got people. My mom and dad came to worship night, but they're celebrating like 56 years of marriage. And you know what my dad, and listen, my mom, no. My mom is in doing children's church right now. She's not even in the room. And my dad's expression was this. Son, I'm not even leaning towards that. Because we talk about leaning in, because here's what I think. I think that when conversation gets good, you lean into it. Like if somebody's saying something really good, you take a forward thing. So I use that expression a lot because I think we need to lean into conversations. Because when you're uncomfortable, have you ever had somebody start talking about something and they're all up in your personal space and they're talking about stuff you don't want to talk about? What's the first thing you do? You lean out of the conversation. And I think when it comes to Jesus and relationships and even forgiveness, that we have to lean into those moments. As tense as they are, it's kind of like when your wife says, hey, we need to talk. Never will forget when I was growing up, my mom would go, Adam! And I'm like, oh, crap, what did I do? You start going through the checklist. And I thought when I became a man, that stuff would go away. But now my wife goes, we need to talk. And I start going, anything you need to tell me, I'll tell you what, how about you just tell me what you know first? And I'll confess after that. Oh, I do that same thing with the Holy Spirit, though. And sometimes, has your wife ever asked you something, and you didn't want to lie, but you had to paint it in a different perspective? Please don't tell me. I'm the only, please, because if I'm the worst of the church, we're all in trouble, okay? But I just wonder how many times we do that with God. And I think sometimes we paint unforgiveness under a lot of different guises. And I want to lean in to the first thing is this, is what's the importance of forgiveness, man? Why does it even matter? Jesus, in Luke chapter 11, 1 through 4, he teaches his disciples to pray. Now people have made, before we bring that up, people have made this like Jesus just said, when you pray, pray like. But do I think you can pray the Lord's Prayer? Absolutely. I mean, if Jesus prayed it, heck yeah, steal it, copyright it, do it, right? Like, just do it. But I think what he's really doing is he's giving us an idea of how to pray. Like, when you don't know what to pray, I think you can pray this. Solid, man. I mean, if Jesus prayed it, it works, right? But I think it's a starting point, not a stopping point. Jesus prays like this. I said, you know what? He said, when you pray. So now when Jesus was praying in a certain place and when his disciples finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples. If you're with Jesus, why are you worried about what John's teaching his disciples? Have you ever noticed that even inside Christianity, everybody's worried about what somebody else is doing? How about you just worry about you for a second? It's like I have people all the time go, Pastor, that was a great message. I wish my cousin would have been here. I'm like, but you know what? You were here. Have you ever stopped to think for a minute? You were the one that needed it. Maybe your cousin is less screwed up than you are. But I didn't do that. I just said, yeah, man, I wish he was here too. I don't know. So anyway, so he said this. The Lord teach us to pray, verse 2. And he said to them, being the disciples, he said, and when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation. And let, you know, I'm good with bread and I'm good with temptation. It's people that I oftentimes, not even the devil. Can I just be honest? Like, it's not the devil half the time I have a problem with. It's doggone people. People that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to die for that I don't like. And now here's the problem. In like a week and a half, I've got to go sit with people that I share genetic pools with. Some of which I don't like. And then some people that I don't like that I share genes with got married to people that I like less. Can somebody please say amen? Then I got married to a person who I love with all of my heart, but has people that she shares genetics with. that I like even less because I'm not required or obligated by gene pool to like. And then they got married to people that I can't stand. Who 2 minutes in, unquestionably before it happens, because I've gone around this planet 26 times with my bride, and we have shared 26 Christmases, 26 Thanksgivings, 26 birthdays, 26 holiday, 4th of July's, cookout, hot dogs, hamburgers. I know this, 2 minutes in, somebody's going to say something stupid. The first 5 times, I was surprised. Have you ever gotten a car and you're on tilt, man. You're just like, you get in the car and you go, can you believe blank said blank? Are they stupid? No, like, did God just somehow strike them with a spirit of dumb, just all of a sudden? Because every time I'm around them, your blank or my blank says blank. And then I'm taken to Jesus. One of the foolish disciples looked at Jesus and said, will you teach us to pray like John? If he would have just kept his mouth shut, I wouldn't have to deal with this. Do you ever have somebody say something? You're like, just shut up. Just stop talking. Because I don't want to know. Because the minute you ask the question, we've got to deal with the tension of whatever you just asked. Shut up. I did it with my wife yesterday. We had this plan, and I couldn't stop. It was out, and as it came out, I just couldn't stop it. And my wife looks at me and goes, while I'm talking, then I'm trying to back up, and I sound like Elmer Fudd trying to do a math problem. You know, right? It was awful. Jesus said this, and forgive our sins. Forgive the way that we offend you. As we forgive people who are indebted to us. No. That's not the way I want to do this. What I want to do is have the forgiveness of God free reign in my life, right? Because I do stupid multiplied. But I don't want to forgive them that way because they deserve it. Y'all got quiet again. See, this series is supposed to be where you apply because this is all Jesus talking. I'm going to finish reading it real quick. Verse 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Lead us not into temptation. Scripture ends it in some versions, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Glory for what? Everything that you did on the earth, but really everything you did in my life. Forever and ever. But do you notice that one of the few things that God really talks about you dealing with is them? So if you really want to see the power of God in your life, you have to deal with them. But you've got to deal with you dealing with them. And why is this so important? Because you're going to Thanksgiving in a week and a half. And then like 3 weeks later, you're going to be with all your people for Christmas. And you're going to have opportunities. So how do I deal with it? One, I have to be prepared for it. After 5 years, my wife and I, anybody ever seen the movie Four Christmases? Yeah. So they always skipped out on the Christmas holidays. And so they can't, but one year they get stuck and they get busted on TV. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty good. But because their families are so jacked up, they came up with a code word that means we need to leave, and it was mistletoe. So if one of them said mistletoe, you just grabbed your stuff and you left. Well, my wife and I looked at each other and we said, this is brilliant. So we still have a code word at holidays that means get your stuff and we're going. I can't believe you would do that. Spend a holiday with us. Because I refuse to let the enemy do something in my life through somebody else that I can't overcome. Because I understand this. He said, but you know what? Father, forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us the debt that we have to you the same way that we forgive the debt that other people owe us. Now, in light of that, how do I get so ballistic with somebody merging on the interstate? Oh, you know the people I'm talking about. The rude people that like shove their way in. But then I stop and I go, but God, I'm rude to you all the time. God, I don't do half the stuff you want me to do. Can we be honest? Like we talk, anybody ever say, live your best life? You're not. Because there's so many times we argue and we contend with God. But there's this direct correlation to how you forgive other people to how God is able to forgive you. So I looked at that and I said, okay, God, what's one thing for you to say to forgive, but what's the duration of that forgiveness? That sounds like a good question. Until you go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 22. Love this. Well, can I set this up with 21? One of the disciples, I'm not going to tell you who it is. You can probably guess. Looked at him and said this. So Jesus, how many times have we got to forgive people? Because what we're looking for is a statute of limitations. Especially if you happen to be a fisherman. Anybody ever watch Deadliest Catch? I used to love it. Because you know what? They got codes on boats. Like they'll talk about it for a little while, and then you're going to scrap on the deck. It's just somebody going to punch you. So Jesus, let me ask you a question. Because I put up with about all these Sadducees and Pharisees and Ezezees, and I put up with my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, and I put up with my brother, and I put up with the sons of thunder over here. Because you know, James and John and Andrew and Peter all ran around together, and they were all fishermen. So you know how they settled most of their squabbles. It was not with a mediator. It was in the backyard and somebody's mama had to go, or wife had to come break it up because somebody was bleeding a little bit too much. So he leans in and he asks a question. So Jesus, how many times we got to forgive these people? Now, there are a couple of different versions of this. I'm going to come out of the ESV. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times. Because see, that was the old rule. You had to forgive somebody seven times. But on eight times, you just knock them the flip out. Can I say, I used to say this, Jesus said this, he said, turn the other cheek. And you know what my response to that was? I only got two cheeks, so after two, I'm dropping you. But then it dawned on me what Jesus was really saying. If you offend me and I turn my other cheek, I actually turn my back to you and ignore your offense. Jesus literally said, you need to do a 180, and we're going to get to this, and leave the situation. But it doesn't just mean physically leave it. It means emotionally. It means forgive and go on. This guy said, Jesus, how many times do you forgive? And Jesus said, I do not say to you seven times, but I say to you 77 times. Now, for those of you who want to start counting it up, I mean, it was my mama. I'm 47 years old. Surely I'm at 77 by now. I can do what I want to do. That was 77 per one offense. What Jesus was saying was it's not really a number. Your forgiveness far supersedes their ability to offend. My Lord, we can revolutionize the entire world system right now just by going, stop being flipping offended at everything. Not everything can be offensive. They took Bugs Bunny off because it was offensive. And violent. I'm like, let me tell you something. I was a violent kid growing up. It had nothing to do with Bugs Bunny. Basketball had to do something with it. Football, yes, that's when most of our fights started. Because somebody got tackled too hard or somebody right. Or because somebody stole somebody's girlfriend. It had nothing to do with the bunny. Let me ask you this, though. Who is God looking at you right now, like in this moment, and he's saying, you know what, you need to let your forgiveness. Now, we're going to get to how to deal with their stupid in just a second, right? Because here's the thing. Sometimes there are stumbling blocks that are in front of us that are just there. People go, well, the devil put them there. I don't know that the devil put them there, but the devil will use them. I don't think the devil has the power to like put that stuff in there unless if God gives the okay. But if God gave the okay, he's trying to work something out of your life. Not put something in it. People go, well, yeah, but you don't understand. I was raped as a kid, or I was abused violently, or I was whatever. I get, and some things take a long season to get through. Some things you need help getting through. When God said it wasn't good for a man to be alone, a lot of times we need help doing stuff. If you don't believe it, go buy a couch and put it in your house by yourself. Make it a sleeper sofa. There's some things you just can't, they're just too big and too awkward to do by yourself. Not opposed to those things, but I think that if you deal with them over time, you can get through them. Yeah, but I'm going through a divorce, or I'm in a divorce, or maybe I'm even looking at having to be in a divorce. And the hurt that's just there is greater than what I feel like I can deal with. Or maybe I was the innocent party in an affair in the relationship, or maybe, I mean, it goes on and on. Some things take a season to get through, but Scripture says this: where sin abounds, or where an issue abounds in your life that God's dealing with, where the tension of that, so much more does my grace abound. In other words, there's grace for the process of getting through it. I remember when I quit cussing. I did not quit cussing in one day. Or 5 weeks, months, sometimes years. I promise you this, I've been saved since I was 18, and when I find the coffee table with my pinky toe in the middle of the night, the first thing that comes to my mind is not, well, praise the master. Can I get a witness from somebody who can just be real? It's, well, you should move past it. No, I shouldn't. I should always be in the tension of my flesh. Because being in the tension of my flesh is what reminds me that I need a Savior. I didn't get saved. I'm always being saved. I'm always being saved from my sin and from myself and from my, you know, we're fundamentally as a society sick with our own sin. So if we've got to forgive almost infinitely because we want to be forgiven infinitely, then how do we deal with those people? Let's take a look real quick. If you got your Bibles, flip over to Matthew 18:22. I'm sorry, John 8:59. I didn't move my page up. Now this is the ESV. Now the ESV is a great translation because the ESV is almost literal back to the text. We're going to look at two versions of this. So anyway, I'm going to give it to you out of the ESV. It says this, verse 59, it says, John chapter 8, verse 59, it says, so they picked up stones to throw at him. People are always trying to stone Jesus for something. Jesus made people mad just being there. Jesus half the time didn't even have to say stuff and people were plotting on it. So you think you're the Son of God? Who do you think that I am? I answer a question. He's like Yoda, man. Sometimes he answered questions with questions. People all the time. So they picked up stones to throw them. Let me ask a question. Have you ever gone into an environment and you knew the minute you went in somebody's going to pick up something to throw at you? Maybe not literally, but something was coming at your head 2 seconds in the door. You just know it. It's a family member. It's a relative. It's a friend. It's somebody that your spouse likes, but you don't. Anybody got those friends? When they stop by, your wife just looks at you and goes, I'm going to the bedroom. Okay, so. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. I read that and I'm like, I don't see Jesus like cowering behind like a vase, and right? So if the English Standard Version is the most literal translation you can get, there's a version of the Bible that I really love to read. It's called the Message Bible. The Message is as if you read it and then tried to tell me about it. Watch this. Now I'm going to back up one verse because I want to add some context. Is this okay? So here we are in the Message, John chapter 8, 58 through 59. We're going to read this. Believe me, Jesus said, I am who I am long before Abraham was anything. Now to us, that don't mean a whole lot. But these are Jews living under the covenant that God made with Abraham, where he was going to make him a rich nation and he was going to bless him and he was going to do all this stuff, right? And basically, Jesus looked at him and said, Abraham ain't jack. I was before Abraham. Now you got to understand, they're talking to a 30-year-old man. You 30 years old, and Abraham was a couple of G's behind you. How were you there before him? Jesus, you are lying. You're a liar in the temple. Because they didn't understand who he was. And I wonder sometimes if we don't misunderstand who God's trying to be in our lives. Especially when it comes to people who offended him. Now watch this. He said this, verse 59, that did it. No, that did it. That's it. That is what did it. Have you ever had a that did it moment? Like I've had that did it moments with my siblings. I got one sister who, I never will forget this. It was one Mother's Day. She kept just yakking at my mom, My mom started crying. Well, you can do a lot of things. If you make my mama cry, it is on. It's like making my wife cry. And I was a teenager, and I remember, it wasn't even cognitive. I just remember my fork hitting the plate, and I stood up and said, I'll tell you something. I was like, ooh. That did it. That was the thing. But I think in this culture, there are things that push people into suicide. There's that one thing that was just too much, and that did it. And I think that there are moments in our own lives where we make decisions and we just go, well, that did it. That was the thing that's, I'm not taking it anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm about to go off on your, that's it. That was the thing. Well, Jesus did it. And pushed them over the edge. I counsel with a lot of people. I do a lot of marriage counseling. And my wife and I will sit down with the wife or the female in the relationship. And you can just tell when she's done. When she's done, you can talk to her. When she gets up and leaves, my wife or I will look at each other and we go, well, that's over. Whatever counseling we do after this point is just, it is in vain because she's done. And when a woman gets done, I don't mean D-O-N-E, I mean D-U-N, finished, done. You know it. Let me ask you a question. When are you going to get D-U-N done? When are you just going to get done with being offended? When are you just going to move past the point of really going, I give you the power over my life to offend me? Did you ever notice those people go blissfully and ignorantly through the rest of their day? And they will jack yours up. Like if you cut me off on the interstate and I can't let you know that you cut me off, it bothers me for 15 miles. Like I'm okay if I can get in front of you and suddenly decide that I need to wash my windshield. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about yet. Oh yeah, you just get a little in front of and you wash your window with the switch and it blows off the roof of your car. And on it, then they've got it. Oh, it's awesome, man. So, but if I can't do that, if I can't exact something, some of y'all are going, and others of y'all are going, Pastor, come on, we need to pray. But if I can't get even with them, then it's 10, 15 miles down the road. Some of you guys are so busy trying to get even with your spouse or with your mom and dad or with your brother or sister or with somebody at work. Some of you, just because you can't get even, because you can't make them hurt like you hurt, man, you're just wasting life. You're wasting experience with God. I wonder when, just like that thing that did it with those people and it pushed them over the edge, I wonder when we're just going to walk into Thanksgiving or Christmas or into our parents' house or into a sibling or maybe even a child, and we're just going to go, you know what, I'm done being offended. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have to do some stuff different, but I'm just not doing this anymore. I'm releasing myself from feeling any kind of way. I love this. It says this. They picked up rocks to throw at him, but Jesus slipped away. Now that I believe. Jesus just slipped away. I see swag and slipping. You know what I'm talking about? If you say he hid, I get this like big jar and Jesus is behind it with two guys moving it like some bad B movie. But when you say Jesus slipped away, I just see these guys. Because here's the thing. If you're going to throw rocks at me, what you got to have? Rocks! They're not randomly laying around in church. Look around the church. If you want rocks here, you got to go to the parking lot. So when they went to the parking lot, Jesus went. And he just rolled out the back door. And they came back in all slathered up. Like, can you imagine that anticlimaticness at this event? We're going to stone him. Get a big rock. I'm getting five rocks. I'm going to get him. This is it. We're going to kill him right in the temple. We're going to get him right here. We're going to get him in the house. We're going to get him in the temple. Because they plotted on Jesus everywhere he went, right? And we're going to get him. They come back in. Where's he at? I'm sorry. He left like 5 minutes ago while y'all were getting rocks. Wait till I see him again. You probably won't. Or if you do, you ain't going to know when he's showing up. By the time you get your rock, he's going to be gone again. When are we going to learn that? When are we going to learn just to slip out while they're gathering rocks? Because here's the thing. I want to forgive you, and I'm going to forgive you in an infinite amount of time, but I may not always be there for you to offend. I'm just going to slip away. Well, that sounds cowardice. No, it doesn't. It sounds calculated. Never mistake cowardice and calculation. They're two different statements. In football, they've got this play. They got this play where the offensive line releases all the attackers by them right at the quarterback. The one guy, him and the kicker, most protected guys in all of football. They're the two dudes you can't have roughed up. But they release, all these guys are running towards the quarterback. And I can just imagine being a quarterback, right? But the idea is that when you release them, now where are all the defenders? They're real close. All you got to do is throw it over their head and you beat half the guys on the field. Sometimes you need to release your offenders because you're slipping right by them. Man, I can't believe they left Thanksgiving so early. They didn't leave. They just slipped out. You know, we got this work lunch. I think I'm going to slip out. I'm going to slip to Wendy's. If y'all are going to Subway, I'm just going to slip on over there. Hey, you know what? There's this birthday party and so-and-so is going to be there. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to slip by that one. Does this make sense? Again, we're not talking about how much do you forgive. I'm going to forgive you if you offend me. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to forgive you. You can talk about me. Look, I got people talk about me all the time. Hey, you ain't doing nothing new. If you run out of things, you let me know. I can write some stuff down for you so you don't forget. Okay? There's saying some of it I'm guilty of, right? I can be too passionate. I can be what? I mean, just fill in the blank, right? I can be funny at inopportune times. I can right? Like I got stuff for you. If you need ammo, you call me. I'll hook you up. But I'll tell you what else I have. No matter how many times you do that, I'm gonna choose to forgive you. Now, if I see you at Walmart and you're a big old turd, no, you know what I'm talking about. You know the people. Now, I can stand up here and talk all spiritual and holy if you want me to, but if I say you're a turd, you know the person I'm talking about. You probably have a mental image of somebody right now in your mind that when I said that, you're like, yeah, that's who you're talking about. I know exactly. Yeah, Jesus, you're talking to me now. If I see you at Walmart, which first of all, I'm not going to be there because that's the place Satan dwells in. But can I change it? If I see you at Food Lion, I may just skip the cracker aisle. I'm like, Jesus, I do not need crackers as much as I need what that person down that aisle. I will just fast some crackers. I will eat potato chips this week and just believe God for my arteries' health. I'm just letting you know. Because what's on that aisle is going to be worse than what is on this aisle. Does that make sense? Or I may have to do some duck and dodge. We're going back to the veggie section. But I'm going to put four aisles between us. Because here's what I believe. I believe that one thing is you have to understand the power of forgiveness. Because it affects you. The second thing is you've got to become resolute in the fact that you are going to forgive no matter how much you're offended. No matter what you do to me, I'm going to choose. There was a guy named Stephen who was literally being stoned to death. Probably most theologians believe at the hand of Paul before he was converted into Christianity. Paul probably orchestrated the vast majority of the execution of Stephen. And as they stoned him, as rocks literally hit his body and blew him apart, he prays this prayer. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Who does that sound like? It sounds a whole lot like Jesus, doesn't it? Well, let me ask you this question. When are you going to start to sound more like Jesus than you sound like yourself? Does this make sense to you? Father, forgive my stupid cousin. He don't know what he's doing. He don't know. Father, forgive my mama. She didn't know what she was doing. She did it because she just didn't know any better. Father, forgive my attackers. Forgive my rapists, because they may have known what they were doing, but Father, they were just being used for the devil. Just forgive them. Forgive my spouse, man. They may have known what they were doing, but I don't believe they knew the complexity and the depth of what they were doing. Father, just forgive them. I don't know who you need to forgive. I don't know. I don't know who God's setting you up to have to forgive. I don't know. But I know this, when I look at Scripture, forgiveness is never an option. Jesus said this, freely you received, freely you have to give it away. Jesus didn't make me do anything to accept his forgiveness. Matter of fact, if you're here and you say, you know what, I'd love to forgive on this level, but I'm not where I need to be with God. Whether you're online or you're here in house, with every head down, every eye closed, nobody looking around. you're hearing, you say, you know what, Pastor, I understand what you're talking about, but I need to receive that forgiveness that only Jesus can give. Whether you're online or you're here in house, will you just, I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to single you out. I just want to know this. If you're here and you say, you know what, today's the day when I need to receive that kind of forgiveness. I need to get my life right with the Lord. Will you just slip your hand up? I just want to pray with you all across this building, all across our online platforms. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Can I just ask whether you raised your hand, you're one of those folks that raised your hand, or maybe you've been saved a long time. Just so, Book of Acts says, make it easy for the unbeliever to come to know Jesus. Man, we're all about that. So I'm going to ask that whether you raised your hand online, here in house, all across this place, will you just pray out loud with me as those that raised their hand receive Jesus, possibly for the first time ever. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Father, help me forgive those I need to forgive. Father, make me right with you. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm here, and man, as you preached, there's some folks I just know that I'm going to have to deal with. I'm going to have to deal with forgiving them. I'm going to have to deal with moving on. This is my moment, but I'm scared because I know I'm going to need some strength to do it. As we prepare to close service, will you just put a hand out towards the Lord? I just want to pray over you. Father, right now, for every hand that's up, for every person that's sitting there and just going, Father, there's some folks, man, I just got to forgive. God, I got to forgive myself. I've got to forgive them. But Father, I got to slip out, man. There's some stuff I got to get away from, man. There's some people I'm going to have to get away from. I just realize it, man. I'm going to be like you. Father, will you give them the courage this morning to do that, God, to get away from them, but also to forgive endlessly, Father, to love passionately, Father, to really look like you when it comes to offense. God, in doing so, we're going to bring glory and honor and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.